Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bat and Spider 189, the 189th episode of Bat and Spider, coming at you in getting inside of you any which way but loose. With me, as always, is my co-host Chuck, who, spoilers, everybody, we are recording at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and he is not handling things very well over there. This is not normal for him.
Too bright. No, my complexion cannot handle, my vampiric complexion this is going to be a real test of wills, of my will to handle this sun.
Yeah, it's, I surprised Chuck with this, so he was not prepared. He didn't put the serum. I don't know what he uses. You know, the days when he goes out in the snow to get his keys caught into the snowblower. Like, I don't know what he puts on his skin, but he was not prepared today for whatever.
It's like the Invisible Man. Everything's wrapped up in gauze. And for my little eye holes, I have to put, you know, those old lady sunglasses that, you know, that have like the cup that go over your regular glasses. I have to wear a pair of those.
I love those things.
Everything's covered.
I love that my great grandmom had them.
Oh, they're great.
So, were they solar shades? Is that what they were called? I think.
Something like that. I was just at an estate sale and I tried a pair on and I felt the power. I
can picture you in a pair of solar shades. I could picture people around town, Chuck, like you are the guy with the reputation, with the bandages, the wrappage. You know? Yeah, here he comes.
There's the mummy man.
He's nice though, so be nice to him.
Hey mom, there's that freak.
I fixed his computer once.
Oh my God.
Oh, so this week for the show, we do watch movies for this show. And this week for the show, we watched a movie called Hellhole from 1985. I normally don't. I can be trusted with DMs. I normally don't reveal them unless I outwardly and directly tell the person who's DMing me that I'm going to read their DMs live on the air. In this particular instance, that is exactly what's happening with one Dirk Feelgood, host of the Movie Mixtape podcast. Dirk goes on to say about the movie Hellhole, which he watched. Thank you, Dirk. Dale, there are more boobies in Hellhole than any other movie I've ever seen.
Wow. Is that Ethan? Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. My boobometer must be off because I watched another movie this week that had a lot of boobs. And so I have no idea. Yeah. And I watched some Three Stooges and that also has a three boobs in it.
Jeez. You are knuckle deep in boobs this week, you lucky dog.
Well, thank you for risking your friendship and confidentiality agreements with one good Dirk Feelgood for reading that DM.
I hope he doesn't take it out on me.
But it's right. It's true. I mean, we'll get into it, but it definitely seemed like there's a certain character in that movie that it feels like they shot the movie and there was a horny producer that said, not enough. You got to get more boobs in there. And so they created a whole new character and shot a bunch of scenes that had nothing to do with the rest of the movie, just so they could up it.
That's very well put. Very well put. So we're going to get to that. And we're going to get to that around, the second half of the show. Before that, we catch up with each other here on Bat and Spider. Before that.
Yeah.
Let's prioritize what's got to be done.
Well, first off, Dale, were you woken up by a delivery service this morning at around 6 a.m.?
Yes.
Ringing your doorbell?
Yes, I was, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Awful. Awful timing.
I had to get up. I answered the door and this guy, he says, "Mail, mail here." And he bends over and he tips his cap. 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's sick. It was sickening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sleep in the fully nude. So he could tell
right.
what I wasn't wearing that he interrupted my flow. But yeah, the jolly attitude coming off this fellow, uncalled for at 6 a.m. No, thank you.
Who knows what time he gets up to even equip himself with that kind of attitude and to pack his car. The point is, we had something show up at our doorsteps today, timed perfectly to arrive at the same time. You and me, Chuck. I took a picture of it and put it on our Instagram and in our Discord. Mm-hmm. Join our Discord, by the way, if you haven't, and get in on the fun. BatAndSpider.com.
And follow on Instagram. You know, we've been doing a lot of fun stuff up on Instagram.
We're short trying. We're throwing spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, if you don't want to miss any of the so-called, some of the fans have started calling it the storyline. I don't, you know, this is our lives, frankly. I don't like reducing it to that, but some people prefer to call it the storyline. So follow us on Instagram if you don't want to miss any of that.
We got boxes, Chuck. Up in the corner.
Yeah.
Tape Deck LLC, it says in this box. And immediately.
No, thanks.
This guy delivering it, it all kind of made sense and it all just soured my mood for the day.
I've been dreading this.
It's not a coincidence. It's not coincidence. After what we've been put through the past week and a half, 2 weeks, what we've been through for the past 4 years, but it's been, past 2 weeks have been rough on Bat and Spider, if I may.
Yeah. Yeah. One good thing about this is it's light. The package, I can tell by the weight, it's probably not an animal head of some kind, which is where I went to first.
Right.
I was expecting some gruesome thing. I mean, I'm not discounting that. Could be another body part.
It could be the tail of a chinchilla. They're pretty light. I wouldn't put it past Tape Deck.
It's true.
LLC too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much a pig heart weighs. I'm not, you know, I don't think I've ever held one. So there's that. That's still in the running.
You'd have to ask Neil from the real world London. You know,
I knew it.
You teed me up for that one, Chuck.
Didn't it have a big nail through it?
How about that backfired in that girl's face? I mean, she thought she was being like super gothic, emo, romantic to send him that. And he treated her like she was the most mentalist of mental patients.
I know. I was shocked. I was like, at that young age, I was like, dude.
Right?
I was like, that's the coolest thing.
And that's
ever.
And this is the way.
And you're just like disgusted by it. You poser. You're not the lead singer of a cool rock band.
He's selling himself on one. He's branding himself one way on the real world. But then when it gets real, he punks out.
He showed his true posh colors. What he did. Yeah. Remember when he had his tongue almost bitten off? Was that live on stage during a concert?
Yeah.
You'd think the guy who went through that would be into a pig's heart.
I can open up my Instagram Explore tab right now, and 3/4 of the tiles on that thing would be women and men who are into receiving bloody pig's hearts with nails through it in a heart shaped box. Okay.
I know he's
Neil.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there, Neil. I'm looking. You know what I'm looking up after we're done recording.
What Neil's up to?
Whatever happened to Neil.
Yeah.
Real world London.
So you want to just get this over with, Chuck? Should we open this up?
Yeah. yeah. I contacted our lawyer and he assured me that probably not going to be anything. It'll be safe to open, I think. I'm not too worried about that.
I don't know. You know what? It's just, I'm so cynical about the whole thing. And like,
you know what? Maybe Dale, let's take this opportunity. Let's just clear our minds. Let's pretend Tape Deck isn't a horrible entity that tricked us into signing on the dotted line to be part of their network. Let's just open our hearts. Maybe it's a genuine, you know, genuine thing that we're, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We just got to see. So just.
We'll see.
This once. Let's just.
And the way this box was taped it's insulting to both people who pack boxes and the people who open boxes.
I didn't want to say that, but it's like it was packed by.
It's probably all part of their game.
Yeah. See, Dale, that didn't last long.
Jesus Christ! So are you?
Okay.
Fucking kidding me right now.
Okay. Should we, you got a letter?
Yes, I got a letter. Are you kidding me? A fucking notarized letter.
It's notarized.
The seal is raised on this. Oh my God.
I know, you can feel it with your fingies. Oh God, I don't know if I can. Ugh.
It's no.
Should we read this?
Yeah. Do you want to do the honors? I'm assuming we got the same letter. Jesus.
Sure. Yeah. Dear Mr. Forsman, congratulations! Exclamation point. In conclusion of the 2023 fiscal year, the marketing department at Tape Deck I'm already exhausted. Has conducted a thorough review, and it has been determined that Bat and Spider has in fact been deemed the podcast of the year by a review committee. There's an asterisk. Let me go down here in very small print. Tape Deck does not officially sanction a review committee, and any mention of such award will be deemed mentally unsound for society. Huh. Okay. I'm going to have to ask my lawyer to translate that one for me. Enclosed, you will find your award. By acceptance, hereon, Tape Deck Legal states in receipt, you are in perpetuity. See, here we go, Dale. Here we go. I don't know much about lawyer speak, yep. But perpetuity.
I know what that means.
No, I don't like that word. In perpetuity, required to place this in plain sight in your home. Okay. And mention this award when the opportunity presents itself. Wow. Boy. In the event you or your partner decline such award, you will be charged. this is just getting better and better. In excess, but not limited to past due fees and licenses for using the Tape Deck name in your promotions. Signed by some stooge up there at the Tape Deck marketing department.
Thanks again, and we look forward to another fantastic year at Tape Deck. Oh my God.
Wow. Really going out on a high note in that letter. What a roller coaster that was.
Oh my God.
Jeez. So let's see what we're signing our lives over for. A lot of bubble wrap.
This is a good ASMR for the pod, I hope. Are you
okay? All right.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Wow. You know, even you know, I can't help it, but it feels good, right? There's part of me that's embracing this, that loves this. My heart is smiling. My pig heart is smiling. Even though I know everything this represents.
This is insane.
Let me hold this up to the camera.
This is insane.
Little microphone. Golden microphone, Dale. It says, it's inscribed Bat and Spider Tape Deck Podcast of the Year 2023.
But we've been official, but we were told, Chuck, that we were not.
I know. Look, I know I was trying to clear my head, but I can't. My mind is racing, and I can only assume, Dale, that they saw the blowback of, they looks like they did some arts and crafts there of our logo. They're very nice.
Interns.
I can only assume the blowback to our retraction of the award, our public retraction that they forced you to do. They scurried and they went and mocked up some fake award. You know, who know? We should probably contact some of the other hosts of some of the other Tape Deck podcasts.
It's our only avenue.
Everyone got one of these, you know? Yeah. It is pretty nice though.
No, that's what makes me so mad. I'm surprised it doesn't have like bat brackets, sick. Mail merge bracket, Tape Deck podcast of the year 2023. Like, I want to be so cynical about this, but at the same time, my heart warms because you know what? We're never recognized for anything, Chuck. And I think the numbers prove it. I think.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Who knows what's going on down at Tape Deck? It sounds like it's the Keystone Cops operation. Three Stooges are running that marketing department. I don't know. All I know is this is a physical thing. And you know what? Even with all the restrictions and things, like I have to mention it to anyone who looks at it. Fine. But they can't take this away from us, right?
Now they can't.
No. You know, I was wondering, I was thinking it might be nice to, I wonder if I could attach a gold chain so I could wear it on my neck.
Thank God.
You know, go down to the supermarket.
They'd be like, oh yeah, look, there he is. He's got something around his neck this time.
Yeah. Look at that. Hey, it's that mummy freak. He's got some gold trinket, some giant gold trinket.
I have a feeling long after this podcast is over recording today, we're going to be processing this. And I honestly just don't know what to think, but it just doesn't feel like this is for our benefit, for our behalf, but it's nice.
Yeah. It is nice. Mm. It's so shiny.
Well, Chuck, we did it.
Gosh. We did something. We made the rats scurry. That's what we did.
Panicking.
Well, anything else going on this week besides mysterious packages? I mean, I watched some Three Stooges. They're incredible. Dale, I watched this one called, it was Nutty. I want to get the name. So anyway, I found out that most, I think like 98% of Three Stooges are represented on our favorite network, Tubi. So if you're in the mood for a Stooge fix, you go to Tubi. They've got beautiful. They've got you covered. I watched this one from 1940 called Nutty But Nice. All right. And there's a scene in here where our three Stooges, there's a sick little girl who's sick because her daddy left.
Mm.
And she's inconsolable. She's like, she's just in bed. She's not like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a sickness of the mind, but she like won't speak. She won't laugh. So her doctors meet the three Stooges who are running this like singing restaurant thing. And they think, he's like, wow, these guys are goofy. I wonder if these guys can cure this little girl of her ailments. So he invites the boys up to her apartment. And the three Stooges are dressed as little girls, Dale. And if this is not the funniest, one of the funniest images I've ever seen in my life, like they're dressed in like, you know, short dresses, like short little girl dresses. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know the terminology from 1940. They're wearing their hair. I guess they have wigs on, but they're all, you know, those curls, you know, like everything's very curled. Those tubes of curls.
Like Shirley Temple.
They've got giant lollipops, which they're fighting over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shirley Temple. Yeah. And they're singing songs little girls would sing. And it is just, it's a joy. It just brings a joy to my
heart. These characters.
And of course they hit each other over the head with the lollipops and they explode. And it's just, you know, they get mad at each other. It's sad. The little girl, like everyone else in the room is dying laughing at their little performance here.
Nothing.
The little girl, nothing.
Wow.
Got nothing for him. Yeah. But that leads into the rest of the short, which is
that's great. Watching,
but God, just
how good for you for getting your Three Stooges fix.
Thanks. should we just get into this hell hole, Dale?
Yes. Yes, we should. It's time to get into 1985. Pierre de Moro.
Hello. All right. So what you got here, you got yourself a movie about young woman, Susan. I don't know how old she was, Dale. Was she in college?
Maybe she was a house mother at a college. I don't know. Maybe she was a college student. Maybe.
I know. Because she lived with her mom and were they talking about her studying for a test?
She was old. She looked old.
She was very mature for anyway, that night her mom is insisting that she go take a shower and not protect these important papers. And when she does, this insane guy named Silk breaks into the house to get the papers. Her mom will give him up, so he chokes her with a scarf. And then chases the Susan, our main character, around the neighborhood, and she ends up falling off a half-constructed building. And she wakes up in an asylum for women with total amnesia. She doesn't remember anything about her life. And were left to suffer the consequences of that decision.
Oh boy.
Silk's still around. He's trying to still get access to those papers. Where are those papers? I need those bank papers, whatever they are. For my boss is running a criminal enterprise. I don't know. And at the same time, there's an evil. She's not the warden. She's like the head doctor of this this facility. And she's her and her other goon, who's not exactly her friend. They're working on chemical. What is it? Chemical. What's that called, Dale?
Chemical lobotomies.
They're in the year of 1985. This is the most important work that they're trying to figure out how to mm-hmm. bring back the lobotomy, in a more pleasing form, as opposed to the old ice pick to the eye socket, which is what they used to do. Yeah. And it's just, it's a lot of, it's a lot of, forces. We got an investigator. Sorry, this mm-hmm. is one of these long.
Oh yeah,
it's synopses. We got an investigator who's embedded himself. Silk is back. He's embedded himself as an employee of the hospital. It's just it's a whole mess, Dale. And at the center of it, Susan is just trying to remember her life.
She would just like to remember her life. What a setback. Yeah.
She doesn't even know her mom's dead. She has no idea. They keep telling her mom's away.
Why?
I know.
And everybody believes it.
I know. And supposing she never regains her consciousness, she's going to, how long is she going to believe her mom is away on a trip?
Are we just to assume that Silk hid the body? So maybe that was a, like,
I know.
I'm assuming that everybody knows the mom is dead, but they seem to all be believing the mom is dead or the mom is on a trip.
I know. Yeah, it's like someone pulled
total
a fast one.
Whack job.
I don't know.
I have to tell you, the many different plot lines weaving and ducking and bobbing through this thing is astounding to see.
Yeah,
this movie is chaos.
It's astounding.
Absolute chaos. But.
This might be one of the most complicated movies we've ever watched.
And to what end? You know, it's like it's not like, it's not even like the most dire of it's not like anybody is being affected but this one building, this one hospital. Like nothing comes of this because gangsters need bank statements on top of chemical lobotomies being.
Do they ever explain? These bank, like the criminals who want these bank, are they like trying, what are they trying to do here?
No, it's like.
Are they getting access to some money?
No, it's like our friend Mikey P like enlisted us to make home videos with him when he was 14. And we just need to say a line before we get to the action like that. But this is a polished movie, but they stick with it. They're like, need those papers, lady.
I mean, they're taking the Hitchcock MacGuffin thing, like. They're like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Except we're going to mention the MacGuffin every scene.
And it gets deep. It gets deep with these papers because, I mean, so they couldn't get the papers when they scare the daughter off the ledge. So
yeah,
she gets admitted to this hospital, right? Because she can't take care of herself. So Silk gets a job there.
Yeah.
This is how bad they need these papers. He goes through the hiring process to get a job at this place.
And the thing this movie, the crime of this movie is they gloss over this. They leave it to us. Like, wouldn't that be fascinating to watch Silk go through his interview process? Yeah. But no, one day he's just strolling the halls in the hospital uniform garb. And we're like, oh my God, how did this maniac get hired? How did he get past HR or whatever the situation was there?
If you think about it, I mean, you probably figure at least twice they try to just get into the hospital just to get to her, you know, like as visitors or something. And then they gave up and they're like, well, Silk, you're going to have to get a job there. That's all we got.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got Silk's good time girl to be a patient, I think. I don't think she was an original patient of the hospital. It seemed like she came from the outside as well, because she was talking about sneaking in to be a patient.
But
or
it's
something.
Like, I don't know. But it's like, yes, it's like now that she's in, she can't get back out, you know. But
she's almost as demented as Silk, though. These two, if anyone deserved each other,
I wanted to have a three-way kiss with them when she started calling him daddy. Chuck, I was like, this is what this movie needs. And Silk is like, you don't want to disappoint daddy now, do you? Like he was owning it. He is daddy.
In his janitor closet in the hospital that he set up to be like a 12-year-old boy's dream of what being a sexy adult was. Like red velvet draped on all the walls, pornography pinned up.
Yeah.
Just everything.
Yeah, he's like reliving his youth. This is like Kenny's bedroom in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Like this is the ultimate 14-year-old's bedroom.
Like, did he have to sneak all that stuff in, like, piece by piece in his, like, lunch pail to get
I know, right? Because he couldn't just, like, bring in boxes at a time, like, moving, like, Xerox copy boxes of paper reams. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, like, spilling over the side of the box. Silk is just a character unto itself. I don't know. Silk is my favorite bad guy of all time.
One part he revolts you. Like his mannerisms, everything that comes out of his mouth makes me want to be far away from this person. But his choice in fashion and his self-confidence, just something. Wow, this guy, like he is just, he's a freak of nature and you can't take your eyes off of him. I mean, when we first see him creep into the mom's house in the opening, and at first you see him like from afar and you're like, is that Prince? Is that Michael Jackson? Cause he's got this tuft of hair. He's got this beautiful tracksuit thing on. He's got a skinny red scarf around his neck. Melissa, like she watched the very beginning. She was like, that scarf looks ridiculous. It's like, if he didn't have the scarf, we might be able to leave him be. But that scarf just made him look so silly. And it turned out that was his signature.
That wasn't his murder weapon. That just happened to be there so he could help murder. That was his attire.
Yeah, this is like comic book villain stuff. Like naming him Silk, he uses a silk to strangle. Like I can't describe all the things about him. Like there's piercings. He's got, I think he's got pork chop.
Yep,
sideburns. The hair keeps changing. His hair. I don't know how he keeps changing his haircut. I don't know. Through all his different disguises. Dale, he talks like he is one of the boys in the Sopranos crew. I can't believe the stuff that comes out of his when he's having that one meeting with his boss, who I think is Susan's dad, right? Who's trying to get the bank papers? I don't know. When he on Silk's day off from the women's asylum, he's meeting him in the car. And the guy, his boss says something and Silk goes, oh, I couldn't believe it. Oh my God.
They're just like, just improvise your way through the scene, Silk. There's another part where like his lady friend says, it's like a maze down here or something. And he says, it's like trying to get out of Coney Island.
I mean, after dinner, not after Johnny Carson. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Daddy. It ain't easy sneaking around this joint.
I love when you call me Daddy. Yeah, I know. It's like calling out in here, you know?
Are they in New York? Is he from New York, I guess? You know, who
I
knows?
No. Know. Yeah. It's very specific. No one else thought about the location, the setting. But oh, man. Silk did. Silk decidedly
Silk
knows
is the
where
ultimate.
He's from. Oh, God. Yeah, worth watching for Silk alone, I'd say. Just an unhinged performance. And this guy, I mean, we should, Ray Sharkey. I mean, you look at his movieography.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in a ton of stuff. Like, he's out there. Character actor, I assume.
And that's not even, and that's just, it just so happens that our main character is put into this hospital where they're experimenting on women and doing chemical lobotomies on them. It just so happens.
Yeah.
Silk doesn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it feels like two movie ideas, you know. Executives were like, let's put these two ideas together and we'll make an even better movie.
That's the exact vibes I got.
Yeah. Cause we got, you know, Silk, great. But no slouch herself. The other villain of this piece, Mary Warnoff, one of my favorites. She plays Dr. What is her name? Dr. Fletcher. Who I looked up Mary Warnoff's height. She's 6 foot.
Okay. Jeez. Okay.
God bless her.
That makes sense.
But I can't help but think they had the cast on their knees. Cause she looks like she's like 7 foot tall in this movie. When she's walking past patients and stuff, she is like a full, like foot and a half
yeah,
higher
you might be
than
right.
anyone else.
That's funny. That's it's funny incredible. Picturing picturing the cast on their knees around her. That is so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Movie magic, but God, Mary, I mean, if you are enjoying Silk, you'll enjoy Mary Warnoff just not as well illustrated a villain. But her whole thing is like, yeah, she's into chemical lobotomy. But also, as her partner doctor keeps pointing out, she's just doing the chemical lobotomy experiments secretly. Just to get off on her sexual hangups, which when we get a glimpse of it, it's maybe watching the nude female patients in a bathtub and maybe doing some drugs. There's a lot of drug use and there's a lot of steal raiding of the pharmaceutical.
Nobody is minding the
shop by patients, by security guards, by Mary Warnoff.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is partaking.
There's nobody on the up and up here. I mean, everybody's in on the take. They're all enjoying each other's time and company. It's like, do you work there? Yes. Are you a patient there? Does it even matter?
No. The lines are blurred.
Super blurred. And to go back to Mary Warnoff, Dr. Fletcher, she's just doing the chemical lobotomies because it's like, you know, it's sexual for her, like watching these women writhe and stuff. But meanwhile,
yeah,
her partner
true.
Is
yeah.
like so focused on getting the chemical lobotomy right.
He's the respectable part of this crew.
He's like, we just need a couple more women we're so close to the perfect chemical lobotomy. We just need to be careful and inject a couple more women. And he keeps reminding Dr. Fletcher that, and Dr. Fletcher is like, doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care. No, no. As it goes on, you just think all she cares about is keeping her job and having a little fun time torturing patients. That's all she cares about.
She loves it.
We have Robert Zidar. I don't know. I never knew how to say that. Which is I guess you call him a character actor, but you've seen this guy. Just picture the guy with the black hair with this jaw from hell. A jaw that you just can't believe has nothing to do with plastic surgery or mortician's latex. Nothing. This is this guy's real jaw. You've seen him. You love him. Tango and Cash, I guess, maybe his biggest movie.
Probably. Maniac Cop. He is the Maniac Cop.
Oh, Maniac Cop. Of course. Yeah, yeah, of course. That's probably a better thing to point out. But yeah, he just plays one of the henchmen, one of the security guards of Mary Warrenoff. And woof, another brute. You just can't imagine the liberties he's taking with the patients when no one's looking.
I have to give Robert Zadar's character props in this, because this is, I think this is the most I've ever seen him, heard him talk. Like he had a speaking role just like everybody else. And normally, like in Maniac Cop, he utters one line or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's good. Yeah. He's not just an insane jaw.
He's not just a man with cherubism. He's got chops. He's got acting chops. And so, I mean, the failed experiments, they keep down. So where they do the experiments, they call the hellhole. Everybody refers to this place as the hellhole. Okay, yeah. It's a separate building in this hospital. And they're all kept down there. They're all lobotomized in some way or another. And they're all downstairs. Like, that's where it stops being fun.
Yeah, so when they perform the experiments, it's a huge injection at the base of their neck. It's a scary looking syringe, man. They got the biggest syringe they could. And either the patient either dies on the spot or they end up... my frustration with this movie, it's all hinged on this building called the Hellhole, and that the failed experiments are driving these patients who are already unhinged. You know, that's not a polite term, but you know, they're in the hospital for a reason. And it's doing what to them exactly? Making them worse, I guess. But they don't really go into that. I could understand if they were like turned into bloodthirsty maniacs where they're like, you know, starting to eat flesh and just become ultra violent. But they're just like, we just get shadowy shots of this like cell block somewhere hidden in the building where, and they're just, it's just all these experiments gone wrong, but it's just, they just stick their hands out of the bars. Like we don't really see them do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like horrific.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. They're not, we have no indication that they're changed in any way. Yeah. They're not acting. Maybe they're acting lobotomized. You know, maybe if
that's the thing, it's like, are they lobotomized or like what? I don't understand what's going on. Like, is they're still like, they're not sitting there. Like, you know, I guess they're not lobotomized. Cause I guess the stereotypical version of someone who's lobotomized is someone just, you know,
lifeless and
sitting still with no emotion. Yeah.
I guess what we could do is ask the members of the other plot line in this, the undercover cops that are trying to bring these people down, because they've already tried this in Oregon. I know.
How many boards is this lady on who's trying to bring down these evil hospital heads?
Oh man. That's a good question. I mean, and are they legit?
Yeah. This is another thing. Like were they cops? Was he a reporter? Like,
oh, yeah.
Good point. I don't understand. Were these good Samaritans?
Yeah,
really say.
What we do know is one of them went through the same hiring process as Silk to get on staff.
Yeah. Now, this guy, I can believe. He seems...
Yeah, he's on a mission. Like
he's not at Silk caliber. He seems like a normal... Yeah.
Maybe his sister with compassion got caught in there and he's just trying to get back at him, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, how about these two, like him and Silk, just like these two guys dancing, bumping chests, and Silk blowing his cigarette smoke in his face.
Silk, all the confidence in the world.
God, just the way he smoked on duty. I mean, I know it's 1985, I guess. I don't know. Were you still smoking in like hospital facilities in 85?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But Silk was.
Silk was. You were everywhere Silk else. Was. You were everywhere else, but I don't know about hospitals, but Silk was.
Yeah. You didn't see anyone else smoking. So you got to think Silk was maybe bending the rules there. Like, I don't know. Maybe he told his supervisor that he needs it for his health. I have to smoke. I can't function without it.
And the supervisor was just so bowled over that he would be so, you know, like, oh, I guess, like, I'm so shocked at what you, I, like, he, the supervisor couldn't respond because he was so upfront.
Well, let's be honest. Silk was probably in, he wasn't asking. He was probably telling.
Yeah, that's true.
He was probably threatening the supervisor confident. To let him smoke.
Silk. You know?
Yeah. Okay, so I alluded to the whole, so Silk's good time girl played by Edie Williams. So I looked her up. She was married to Russ Meyers.
Oh.
Is it Russ Meyer or Myers? Anyway, she was like in Playboy. She had a long career. She's in Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, The Naked Kiss. The movie I love. Long illustrious career. I think she's still kicking too. But she just pops into this movie. You could take her out of this and you'd have the same movie. Like I'm convinced that they were like, we need to add more boobs. So let's get Edie in here to just like get in a bathtub.
Okay. I was just going to ask if she was one of the mud tubs. Because is she the one in the shower that's like soaping up the other girl for a second and like,
oh, that's right. Yeah. She's in that scene. Yeah. She's soaping up the other girl. And then she has that awesome fight with one of the other
that's a good fight.
Inpatients, I should say. That was a great scene. That fight was legit. That was awesome. Yeah,
that was physical.
Because it was like, first off, I mean, we got to paint a picture. It's like the girl's big shower room. Every girl is naked. Okay. But the thing about this scene is it's not titillating. Like it's kind of like a real fight.
Yeah.
And it just so happens everybody's naked. And it's more of a raw, like it's like you're watching cave women fight, you know, at a certain point, it's not, you know, this is not for the perverts in the crowd. This is just, this is raw human.
Somebody should step in before they, you know, break their neck on tile floor.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. That was a great scene.
That was a fantastic scene. But I mean,
yeah,
so much full frontal in this movie. So much. There's so much beef in this movie.
Do they really have, what a hospital, was a women's asylum, would they really have a mud bath? Is that part of
that's
the
a good question.
I the mean, therapy is there?
And where was this mud bath? No matter where, what you think of this mud bath, if it was in a hospital or not, in the real world, it was in a tool shed. Why would a mud bath be in this tool shed somewhere?
I know.
But the mud bath, I mean, that was pure, you know, icing on the cake right there.
Look at he. Where did he come from?
Oh, I'm the mud control inspector.
Oh, control me. Oh, I want to be rolled and controlled.
Two women, you know, one Edie with huge boobs and Silk slides on in with his, you know, like.
I know.
Size 26 waist. God.
He is a lithe creature, this Silk.
He totally is, man. He's just squirming on in.
And that giant compact filled with the cocaine.
Yeah, my God. There had to have been $5,000 worth of cocaine in that compact.
Yeah. That was not stolen from the pharmacy cabinet. That was smuggled in at some point.
Yeah, that's not.
But man, when Silk eyeballs that cocaine, he is. Oh my God, what a turn! His day just got a thousand times better.
Yeah, he's taking the afternoon off from being covert,
trying to get the location of the papers.
Nice, You know, if Fletcher caught you two in here, your ass would be grass. And my putt would be mud.
They just call it the bank statements or the papers. They call it the bank statements maybe once and the papers the other time, the documents.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Beautiful. I love this movie.
I don't know.
I love this movie.
I'll tell you what, I enjoy this conversation more than I did the act of watching the movie. Mm. I did get bored. I found myself really bored. But the joy that we're getting out of talking about it, You can't measure that.
You can't put a stamp on that. You can't put a rating on
that.
But
really, I mean, you got to watch this movie for Silk. Silk alone, because this guy, like, just study his performance and try and...
He's a king.
Just imagine this guy in real life. Like, you wouldn't be able to handle this guy. I wouldn't be able to handle this guy in real life. No thanks.
No way.
Ugh. Silk.
Silk.
Should change Beautiful. The name of the movie. Yeah.
To Silk's movie.
What happens at the end? Mary Warnoff gets lobotomized. And Susan escapes. Oh, Susan remembers. Her amnesia is triggered because she sees Silk's choking somebody else.
Right.
That brings her memory back. And her dad, who I think is her dad, the guy who wanted the papers, barges in and tries to kill Silk, but he ends up Silk kills him. I don't know.
Oh. Hmm. He kills Silk
I think he had a change of heart.
Oh, geez, I missed that part.
I think that's what happened. He's like sick of having Silk terrorize his poor daughter.
You know,
I think it's his daughter. I don't know. I might be inferring that.
The thing that bummed me out, the thing that was like the most egregious, was that Silk died by a random woman. Like,
wait, how did he die? I can't remember.
Silk was shot down by one of the lobotomized women. Like, he was shot, okay. But why couldn't our main lady, Susan, like,
exactly.
He did all the wrongdoing to her first, you know, like, she just got out of the building. So it was very...
That's the other crime in this movie, is Susan, who's supposed to be our main character, she has zero to do. Like, things only happen to her. She barely has any, like, thoughts. Like, you'd think she would be the one, like, putting things together and, like, being concerned about what's happening in this hospital. Like, even with amnesia, she can still, like, figure out, like, hey, there's a lot of crazy shit going on here.
Yeah.
And I feel normal. Like, I don't think I should be in, like, she seemed like she should be more concerned about what's going on in her life and being held captive in this place. And it was frustrating to watch her just sort of be a damsel in distress for what's his name to rescue.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
But
she looked a little bit, this lady's somewhat famous who played Susan. She's a twin, first off.
Oh.
Judy Landers.
She was born in Philly. Hey.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in this movie where I was like, Dale is going to recognize these people from a soap opera. Oh, you know who looked like he belonged in a soap opera is the other doctor, the male doctor.
Oh, totally.
Who was doing the block. I was like, this guy, Dale's going to recognize this guy from Days of Our Lives or something. He had the haircut. He had the look.
He totally looked like it. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's a good, it's a good comparison. I don't know. Hellhole.
Dale, let's close this part of the show and go into the mailbag.
Go into the mailbag, Chuck and Dale. We're going to the mailbag.
Play that mailbag sounder. Do we have one of those?
We should. We have one letter this week, Chuck.
Okay.
It's from friend of the show, Scott Marvel. Scott Marvel's back. Hey, Scott.
S. Marvel.
Recent picks. Hey, Chuck and Dale, I've been loving the recent film choices, though I suspect one of you went back in time to 1991 and are just picking through my VHS free screener collection from when I worked at West Coast Video in high school. Come on. I Come in Peace, Cool as Ice, Stone Cold. Next, you're going to announce Toy Soldiers or Rover Dangerfield. Keep them coming. All the best.
Oh my God. Rover Dangerfield.
Remember that?
I've never seen that, but I remember that. Like,
I've never seen it, but as soon as I Googled it, I was like, oh yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that was a vehicle for Rodney.
I don't know if that's a bad spider pick, but yeah. But yeah, I should watch that someday.
Yeah.
What was the other one he said?
Sean Astin, Will Wheaton, Keith Coogan.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw the... maybe on cable, basic cable. I do have memories of this.
I do too.
Yeah.
Mere
this is
memories.
Definitely, yeah, okay. This, you know what, Scott, you're right. This one, I don't know about Rover Dangerfield, but this one definitely, this is tickling my funny bone. It's tickling something.
Mm-hmm.
God, does it use that... Oh, this has that great song, right?
Toy Soldier song?
I think this has... Yeah, by Martika. Was it used in this movie? I don't know if it was. Anyway, great song, Dale. Your homework after the show is to listen to Martika Toy Soldiers, and you're going to be like, oh, this is a great song. I know this song.
Toy Soldier.
I don't know if it has anything to do with this movie. I don't think it does. But okay, what's next? What else do we do here?
Well, Chuck, this is Chuck and Dale leaving the mailbag. We are leaving the mailbag. Chuck and Dale leaving
bye,
the mailbag.
Bye.
It is time, Chuck, to announce next episode's movie, episode 190.
Crap.
The final countdown. 10 episodes.
The final countdown.
to the big 200.
I know. It's going to happen.
Years in the making.
Explode. Gosh, Dale. Okay, so I do have an idea for a movie. I don't know if I'm going to pick it, though. I don't know. Because it's one of those picks where I feel like it's not a great movie, but the poster alone,
it's what does it.
It calls to me, it beckons, but I don't know if a poster's worth it, worth watching. I don't know. Let me just look through
Okay.
What else we got here?
Step by step, heart to heart, Toy Soldiers. Toy Soldiers is a song by Martika, appeared on her eponymous debut album in 1998.
88.
Well, the haunting children's chorus is notable because four of her former Kids Incorporated castmates are among the singers. What?
Oh my God.
I just soiled
Dale,
my
how
shorts.
How much Kids Incorporated did you watch as
oh
a child?
Oh my God, dude.
Was that PBS?
Whenever there was a free Disney weekend, that was Disney Channel. Oh,
was it Disney?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Looks like we made it. We're Kids Incorporated. K-I-D-S.
S, Kids Incorporated. Oh my God. The joy coming off that screen when Kids Incorporated.
Oh man, I loved Kids Incorporated. Free Disney weekends, free Disney previews and on cable. I would be sitting in front of that TV. My mom would make me pierogies fried in butter.
Ooh.
I'd be watching free Disney weekends, Kids Incorporated.
Wow.
Whoa, looks like we made it. We're Kids Incorporated.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Dale.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay. Better now than at 11:30.
Okay. From 1935, a movie called Mad Love.
From 1935.
Yeah, you know me. I got to go back.
You're a sucker.
There's a part of me that needs to go back.
Peter Lorre?
Yeah.
A gifted personality comes to the screen. An insane surgeon's obsession with an actress leads him to replace her wounded pianist husband's hands with the hands of a knife murderer. Hange would still have the urge to throw knives. Wow. There are no original ideas in Hollywood, huh? This is from 1935. Talk about so everything after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I always want to pull us back to the early days of cinema because I love delving into these old horror movies. I love it.
Ooh.
Not a ton of options. This is going to be a rental on Amazon, Apple, or Microsoft.
So. Oh.
So there you go.
So everybody with your with all your eggs in Microsoft's Xbox ecosystem can rent it there.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Cool.
Well, at 68 minutes, this is a treat.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
You know?
I'm gonna go polish my trophy.
Yeah, no, that's not innuendo, Chuck. We have trophies to polish now, so this is fun. This is super fun. Yeah. Everybody, go to batandspider.com to get all the links you need to join our Discord, to go to check out our Ko-fi page, to check out our pop bods, and we love you, right, Chuck? We love them.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, we love them.
Everybody, we love you. Stay strong.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.